Okay, so Lee, I've got teachers calling and texting in to answer my question. What the heck?
Well, that's a pretty broad subject.
Well, no. My husband and I volunteered over the weekend at a local high school. It was Greenville County High School. I'm going to say which one. It's top five by test scores, and it's in the top five by test scores in the county. We'll just leave it there. And my husband goes into the boys' bathroom, and they have got signs plastered, and it's not just one, right? So you know this is a problem. They've got signs plastered all over the place. Only one person to a stall at a time. Failure to comply will result in one day of OSS. Okay. And I mean, they are everywhere. They got him like every 5 feet, so you can't miss it, right? So like, he's like, are the boys going in there together and doing, what are they doing? And I said, I don't know. So when the girls restroom to see if that was the case, same thing in there. It's apparently a problem. Or is it? I wanted to know from teachers. And boy, did I get a snootful. Texter writes, Tara, I work at one of the Spartanburg high schools. We've had to resort to putting retractable gates on our restrooms so kids can only be in there while a teacher or principal is standing outside the door monitoring. Apparently, they're going in there for two reasons. There's vaping, a lot of vaping going on, which is, I suspected that was part of it.
Yeah.
But also, they are photographing each other. Shall we say?
Yeah.
Kind of photograph you really couldn't take in the hall, you know what I mean?
Okay.
Or maybe they'll just start doing that next. Yeah. I don't know. But apparently, it's a huge problem. Texter writes, Tara, I was a substitute teacher in York County. Teacher left a note. Hopefully, they will sleep. Keep an eye on, you know, John and Susie, she calls it. Okay. They will try to enjoy each other during class. What in the heck is going on? So anyway, I'm getting all kinds of phone calls and texts from teachers and also parents saying, yes, they are nude photographing each other and putting it on Snapchat. Apparently, it makes them more popular. And I'm always like, is this an action photo? You know what I mean? Or is this like dropping pants? It's all of it. I said, okay, that's kiddie porn.
Yes, it is.
That's not legal. It doesn't matter who takes a picture.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. You can be arrested for that.
And that'll have some long-term consequences.
Yes, that is really hard to explain to an employer. Now, see, I was just in a high school restroom taking pictures. And
okay, thank you. Next.
Yeah, all right. Well, we got a restroom back there, too, and we don't want you back there doing whatever it is that you do. Texter writes, Tara, all of the juvenile naked photos posted on social media are flagged by the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children and reported to law enforcement. Yeah. Okay. This is a great time to mention, by the way, that the application window for the Greenville County Schools virtual program is open. It's going to be open until February 8th. You can reserve your spot in it now. And they tell you this in the email. If you are... I've always wanted to homeschool, but you can't. Maybe you work. If you can work from home, you can do this. I know a lot of grandparents where the kids go to school there. My kids have gone through the virtual program. It is excellent. A lot of people think it's COVID school. It's nothing like COVID school. They've had great success. My son just got, you know, SAT score in the top 1%. He's only a sophomore. My daughter's applying to some good schools. She got good SAT scores. My son, they, you know, rank your kids with their high school class as if they go there. He's fourth in his class. He's rocking it.
Excellent.
And one of the things that I have loved about it is not just the great education that you get and the small class size and the seriousness of the kids in the class, because everything's, you know, on video, so nobody messes around. One of the things that I've really loved about it is there's no time wasters. My kids are done by usually 2 p.m. tops. They're finished. Mm-hmm. My daughter's taught herself a second language in her free time. We use free time constructively, but it's the only way that I can like homeschool and I can also work. And it works for me. And then I have another son who had struggled for many years in school, really was not doing well, even with all the great help from his teachers.
And from you. I remember you recounting those struggles. Yeah.
Yeah. And one of the cool things about virtual, deadline is midnight. So over the last few years, I've been able to come home from work, sit down with him. And we used to do an hour, even an hour and a half a day. And then it got down to an hour and then it got down to half an hour. I caught him up and we do classwork together. I still work with him most days, but it's now we're down to 20, 30 minutes. He's a straight A student now, Lee. And that was something that his you know, teachers, mm-hmm. God bless them, tried, but couldn't do. Mom had to do it.
Right.
And so even though I work, I can't teach him all day. I wish I could, but I can quasi homeschool him in over about 3 years. I mean, we've seen his math scores go up. His reading scores are now top tier. I mean, and he had struggled with reading before. He just needed to be caught up. And I was able to do it. And I just thank the virtual program. So the window to apply is open through February 8th. It's very easy. It's just a little jot form. You could find the links for it in Backpack or online. Check it out. What they're doing right now is you sign up right now. They allocate the teachers. If you change your mind, and they will tell you this, that's okay. You could still go back to your homeschool. You can say, hey, by May, I think we'll just stay in school. The bullying problem we were having is over. You know, thanks a lot. And it's cool. They're very, very flexible. So reserve your seat and then maybe even do the research for it. But if you've always wanted a homeschool, you can't afford private school, this could be a great opportunity for you. You don't have to worry about what other kids are doing in the bathroom. And by the way, Lee, too, I give my kids the choice every year. You know, if you want to go back to school, I'm not wild about it, but I'll let you. You can do that as long as you still get good grades, you're well behaved.
No.
It's your choice. And they have chosen to stay in the programs. They love it. And I'll just, you know, just a little pitch for it, because I know I'm talking to somebody out here this morning who needs to hear that. Again, maybe your child's having trouble with bullies. Maybe it's an academic problem. You could help them. I don't know what it is for you. Maybe it's something else. Maybe it's just you're tired of children recording their own porn in the bathroom together at your high school. I don't know what it is. A lot of people don't know this. I get texts, but my son or my daughter plays sports. My kids do too.
That's not an issue.
No, it's not. Because a lot of people don't realize this. Also, if you homeschool, this applies to you as well. You have a right to play on the sports teams for the school you are zoned for if you pay taxes. You can't pick your high school or middle school, but you can go to the school for that sports team. So my kids have played sports. I mean, my daughter's been on varsity sports team. They're in clubs. They're on, teams. They do activities. So they are constantly at their school. They just don't go there during the day. So, and there's a lot of good reasons for that. But it's been a great experience. I've loved it. I would highly recommend it. It is much better than it used to be. And I've gone and spoken before the school board about it. And, please keep this wonderful program. So I would encourage you to check it out if that checks the box for you. It's not for everybody. Absolutely. I get that. But I know there's parents out there saying, wish I could afford private school, wish I could homeschool, and they can't. This might be a way for you to do that, especially if you can work from home, or again, you've got grandparents, I've even seen some people who will pool children. In other words, like one mom can stay home, others end up at the house. And I've always thought this would be great too for, and it hasn't caught on, but I've always thought it'd be greatly for churches to do this. Mm-hmm. Like with an elderly person who, maybe wants to volunteer, or a parent, and you can literally create a quasi-church school affordably using the virtual program. So, but it's a great program. Academically, it's an amazing program. And I couldn't be happier. And I just want to let you know the deadline is February 8th. If it's not for you, if you check it out, that's okay. They will send out another form making sure you're actually going to come. So it's done. Option for folks. By the way, they've got an excellent program too for allowing your kids to go to Greenville Tech instead of their high school as well. And so my kids have been taking college courses as well. So they've got a lot of college credit going into state schools. It's, I think, going to save them some money. So anyway, didn't mean to go on about that, but I wanted to let you know about the deadline. And I thought, wow, okay. When we are, and we have to, Lee, we did not have this. I don't know about you. Did you have this when you went to school?
Oh, no.
Okay.
Lucky to have air conditioning.
Okay. Right. Because teachers have to patrol the bathrooms and put up signs so kids don't go in the stalls together and do really crazy things that I'm learning about this morning. And apparently this is a real problem at our high schools. I did not know that till I volunteered at a high school this weekend and saw the signs everywhere. But new normal, I guess. And here's where we are in Iran.
State Department issuing a travel advisory for U.S. citizens in Iran. The message is short and to the point, quote, leave Iran now. Have a plan for departing Iran that does not rely on the U.S. government help. This follows President Trump's warning to the Islamic Republic as reports reveal hundreds of civilians have been killed during anti-government protests. The White House also revealing the private messages Iran is sending back to the United States. Watch this.
what the Iranian regime is saying publicly is quite different from the messages they are sending to the United States and the Trump administration privately. President Trump, as for him, he has always expressed that diplomacy is the first option, always has been, always will be. However, he is unafraid to use the lethal force and might of the United States military if and when he deems that necessary. And nobody knows that better than the Iranian regime.
Meanwhile, Wall Street Journal reporting, J.D. Vance wants to try diplomacy instead of hitting them again. Apparently, he opposed the strikes last time within the Trump administration. Of course, Democrats making much hay out of that. See, we have to leave the mullahs in place. Okay. I know J.D. Vance was in high school when we started negotiating with the mullahs, and all they did was use it to buy time to build the nukes to kill America. So, folks, that's not going to work. This idea we should have negotiations. We're having negotiations right now. But we have reached the point where the negotiations are leave or we could kill you. You could end up unalive. Which, speaking of which, apparently is an event scheduled for later today in Iran.
There's this horrific report, albeit unconfirmed, but also it would be unsurprising, of a 26-year-old Iranian who is set to be hanged later today. It would be the first public execution of this round of protesting. I mean, the resolve of people who are willing to die for a cause that they may not see come to fruition is awe-inspiring.
Yeah, pray for those poor people. It's what the Democrats have done to those poor people. You think it's bad what they've done to us? They installed the mullahs. They funded them. They built that nuclear system brick by brick, nuclear weapon system brick by brick by brick by brick. And I'm going to prove it to you in the next segment. So Trump needs to stop listening to J.D. Vance. I'm not sure what's up with J.D. Vance. He needs to get his head examined. We need to take him out while we can. They hang this guy today. That is the perfect. They are putting one last fist in our face. That is the perfect opportunity. We got to do it anyway. We've got to kill. I prefer to kill the mullahs. I want to use the Maduro tactic, but I don't want them to end up alive at the end of it. Totally justified. They using Democrat money, the Democrats spent that, sent them the hundreds of billions of dollars between Obama and Biden. These are Iranians who are flying drones into our bases and killing our troops. I was done with them years ago. They need to die. The part where they put a fatwa on Trump three times, that's a death sentence. The Ayatollah, but never on the Democrats, sent three assassins to kill Trump or his inner circle. Again, we've got all three of them in custody. One has been convicted and serving time in federal prison. I'm done here. I'm just done. And the reason we have to do this, maybe I'll speak slowly. I normally like J.D. Vance, but I don't get where he's coming from here. I think he wants to be cautious so he could be president. We don't have time for that. Let me tell you why. Because we are rapidly heading to a time where future Republican candidates for president have to campaign for a bunker from a bunker because the Iranian assassins are hunting them on our soil. So this isn't about regime building or nation building or foreign wars. This is about survival for future Republican candidates. Let me remind you how we got here. Here's Mike, because fuck, this is why we got to kill him. This is why we got to bring it. I'm serious. We can send him to Russia. I'm afraid they'll come back under a Democrat regime. The only way I think our candidates can truly be safe on our soil is for them to die. I'm serious. And we are there. We are absolutely there. Trump needs to take this and run. We've already got the bodies in the bags. He's got the moral justification. Do it and end this. Just end this. Here's Mike Pompeo, Secretary of State, former CIA director under Donald Trump, with some history.
Remember where we came in 2015, the Obama-Biden administration essentially handed power to the Iranian leadership and acted as a quasi-ally of theirs by underwriting the very militias that killed Americans. Those resources, the money that they had to build out those forces throughout the Shia Crescent was provided to them by the nuclear deal. We allowed Europeans to go do business there. We provided them $150 billion, pallets of cash. All of these things are the very challenge that the Trump administration has had to correct. The strategy is working. We're going to stay the course, and we will protect and defend the American people at every step.
$100 billion, pallets of cash. Barack Obama cuts a nuclear deal with them that funds their nukes and allows them to not only build nukes, but then at the end of 5 years, buy the missiles from either Russia or China with which to deliver them to our shores or to Israel's shores or both. Trump comes into office and they begin breaking the law, violating the Hatch Act. Democrats going to Iran and telling them, look, we'll help you wait out Trump and just hang on and we'll keep you in power so you can brutalize women for showing their hair.
Former members of the Obama administration have been caught holding back-channel communications with Iranian officials on how to defeat U.S. foreign policy under the Trump administration. Specifically, they've been contacting Iran's foreign minister, Mohammad Javad Zarif. One American News exposed John Kerry's illegal shadow diplomacy with Zarif last year when the two were caught holding secret meetings together in Paris and photos were taken of them. In some cases, Obama officials reportedly attended Capitol Hill meetings to learn information about new U.S. policies from congressional Democrats and then relayed that information to the Iranian government. This, of course, is in violation of the Logan Act.
Yes, yeah, so that was when Trump was in office. Here's Fox News reporter on John Kerry coaching the mullahs on how to stay in power. Hang on. Hold on to the billions we sent you. We will help. Once we steal the, get Biden elected.
He was having, quote unquote, illegal meetings with Iran's foreign minister. And what others have said is an attempt to undermine or subvert or coach the Iranians on how to get around or avoid the new tougher policy in Iran.
Understand something, folks. Remember when Bush laid out the axis of evil? There's another partner. It's the Democrat Party in partnership with Iran. Here's Secretary of State Mike Pompeo at the time talking about John Kerry's utter betrayal. Folks, the Democrat Party has merged with Iran. They try to kill our presidential candidates during the election season. We've got to end this now.
What Secretary Kerry has done is unseemly and unprecedented. This is a former Secretary of State engaged with the world's largest state sponsor of terror. And according to him, right? You have to take my word for it. These are his answers. He was talking to them. He was telling them to wait out this administration. You can't find precedent for this in U.S. history.
No.
Actively undermining U.S. policy as a former Secretary of State is literally unheard of.
That's the definition of treason. That's why, folks, if we want to defeat Democrat tyranny and Iranian assassination attempts, we've got to sever the relationship between the Democrats and the mullahs by making sure they never hurt anyone again. No better chance than we have right now to do this. Coming up next. Sloan, Tara, if you saw the girl lighting her cigarette with a picture of the Ayatollah, I did. Gave me chills over the weekend. She is braver than all of these ICE protesters combined. If she's caught, she'll be raped and hanged. Absolutely. The Democrats did that to her. You think what the Democrats did to us was bad? It's nothing compared to what they did to the Iranians. I played some of that in the last clip, in the last segment. The money that they sent, how they met with the Iranians when Trump was in office, telling him to hold on. We'll get you another $100 billion to stay in power. The Democrats in Iran have absolutely merged. And that is why Iran funds the street protests of Democrats in our streets.
We've said ourselves, the director of national intelligence came out publicly and said that we do know that Iran has been funding and encouraging some of the protest activity here in the United States.
Yeah, that's Joe Biden's spokesperson, John Kirby. Why does Iran feel they need to pay back Democrats by funding their activities? Iran and the Democrat Party have merged. This is a deadly combination, and we must end it by ending the mullahs. We have the best opportunity we have had in a long time. This is former CIA station chief Dan Hoffman explaining why.
Yeah, I think the Iranian regime is under more threat right now domestically than they ever have been before. I think that's reflected in the outreach on the part of the Ayatollah to the United States for some negotiations, potentially about the nuclear program. Iran knows that their economy is in free fall. They're suffering from a shortage of water. All of those things have fueled these protests, and it threatens Iran's regime. And so what they want is to negotiate and put an end to those sanctions. I think the Trump administration will certainly listen. It's a good opportunity for us to collect information on how bad things are inside Iran. But I think the Trump administration might do well to let these protests play out and not be in a rush to eliminate or reduce those sanctions, which are having such a serious impact on the regime's security.
Yeah, he's crushing them. This is all we ever had to do, by the way. The reason these that you're seeing the biggest protests in 79 is because we have cut, Trump has cut off the Democrat money, and he's also cut off Iran's ability to sell oil. He has them right where he wants them. Now, he cut off the oil last time. Not the oil, I'm sorry. He cut off, well, a lot of it, a lot of the trade in oil. In order to fully shut it down, he had to shut down the Venezuelan ports, where they were, you know, Russia was bringing in their ships. They were getting the Iranian oil and helping to sell it. I mean, they were do-si-do-ing it out of the port. Trump shut that down. Iran, this is why you're seeing that. These Iranian deep state murderers that the Democrats like to fund with $100 billion every time they're in office, they don't even have gasoline for their tanks to go run people over. That's why they're winning. I want to remind you of why they're in power now. Striking Iran, killing the mullahs, or effectively making sure they are so neutered they can never hurt anyone again, and I don't know what that entails, means Democrats cannot join forces with them and allow them to hunt our candidates on our soil like they did during the last two election cycles, sending assassins to try to kill us. Here's some history so you can see how allied the Democrats are with Iran.
Number two, you dry up the cash. Iran's received over $100 billion in oil sales, waivers, and hostage money since Biden has come in.
Yeah, so Trump had frozen that with sanctions. Democrats just unfroze it, said, here, go rape and kill some women for not showing their hair. We love an authoritarian. By the way, if you could send some money for our street protest, that'd be great. Folks, this is an evil, evil alliance here. Cheryl Cassone, back during that time period, Fox News.
President Biden approving a sanctions waiver which granted Iran access to more than $10 billion. It was signed just 6 weeks after an Iran-backed drone strike killed three American soldiers in Jordan. Of course, Iran now attacking our ally Israel for the first time in history. It's not the first time, though, according to the Fox News Brain Room, that we've seen this money become somewhat flush for Iran. They've been given access to at least $16 billion in total worth of funds. Since President Biden took office, that money could go towards things like missiles, nuclear weapons, funding a proxy war in the region, all while stifling the rights of women in Iran.
That kid gets hung today. It's because Democrats paid for it. This isn't oopsie doopsie, or we were trying to help humanitarian, or oopsie doopsie, we screwed up. They are allies. Our Democrat Party has become part of the axis of evil. Here's Ted Cruz from the period, Senator, explaining how this happened.
This attack is the worst attack on Israel
October
in
7th.
50 years.
Yep.
This is what happened on October 7th. In the early mornings of October 7th is the single largest mass murder of Jews in a day since the Holocaust.
They're coming for us, too.
Israel right now is quite rightly responding, and they are responding. Prime Minister Netanyahu has made clear that his objective is to utterly eradicate Hamas. These terrorists, they targeted civilians. They went from home to home to home, going after civilians, deliberately murdering the elderly, murdering women, murdering children. They would murder entire families simply because they were Jewish. They violently raped women and young girls, publicly parading them in the street. They murdered and decapitated and burned alive toddlers and infants. This is horrific, and it is evil what Hamas terrorists have done. Now,
with Democrat
going
money.
Forward, there are several steps for U.S. policy. Number one, we need to cut off the funding that has enabled this attack to happen. And what is so infuriating is over the last 2.5 years, Joe Biden and the Biden administration have flowed nearly $100 billion to Iran. Understand, Hamas is a proxy for Iran. Without Iran, there would be no Hamas.
That's
and the
right.
Wall Street Journal has reported that this attack was planned by Iran, was funded by Iran, was directed by Iran, and yet the Biden administration continues to allow billions and billions of dollars to flow to the Ayatollah to be used to murder Israelis and to murder
Americans.
And that
right there, that's why they were sending assassination teams to kill Trump and his entire administration. They want the flow of cash. Without it, they are done. But it didn't stop.
They're bringing the $6 billion to light. Yes, we're talking about it. And then there's the $60 billion, as John Radcliffe told me yesterday, $60 billion in unenforced sanctions that have freed up Iran to sell oil. Mm-hmm. If I'm President Biden, I'm not only in front of a camera today, I'm announcing new sanctions on Iran. I am there talking tough and saying, you enabled this in no uncertain terms. And we haven't heard that from him yet. I know
no,
he's being...
No. That was when we were at $60 billion. They went to $100 billion. That's why Iran was like, yes, we are more than happy to kill Trump and his entire cabinet. We got two choices. Look, folks, we are never going to get a better time than today to end these people. Just end them. Finish them so the Democrats can't do this again with Iran on our soil. You want to know how bad it's going to be? Never forget, less than a month after we caught a Trump assassin from Iran sent here to kill him and to recruit others to do it. Joe Biden rolled out the red carpet for the president of Iran, greeted him like a conquering hero, and gave him better Secret Service protection than Trump had at the time. You want to live like that? No. Well, then end them. This is a existential threat that has reached our shores. And it's got to end. We're done here. It's got to end. Take the opportunity. Donald Trump's got to do it. End it. Finish it today. Folks, we're facing a future. If we don't put down left-wing violence, either violence in partnership with Iran, who sends assassins to kill us, and now Democrat mobs, who send mobs to kill us, it's going to be very unpleasant for us to operate in the future. They don't face anything even remotely like this. Do you see what happened? Hundreds of Somalis stormed an ICE operation in St. Cloud, Minnesota on Monday after a Somali news station live streamed the raid. ICE agents were surrounded by hundreds of Somalis blowing whistles, protesting as officers conducted a raid on a Somali owned business in a strip mall. Ice out, they shouted. ICE agents had to deploy tear gas, disperse the protesters after they blocked their vehicles from exiting the parking lot. They're telling them to move and they won't. Democrat State Senator Eric Putnam was spotted amid the chaos trying to act like a barrier between the protesters and the federal agents. Don't even get close, Putnam says, as he pushes back on the protesters. It's a stressful moment. But folks, what is happening here is the state senator goes out there to lead the mob and loses control of the mob. Why? Here's what Ilhan Omar is telling them. $9 billion stolen? We don't know anything about that.
I'm so exhausted in trying to ask what any of this has led to you finding any criminals that you have indicted that explains why you are wasting so much of our taxpayer resources and also terrorizing our communities.
$9 billion in fraud, 90 convictions so far. And it looks like it'll go a lot higher in Minnesota. Here's Todd Pyro on Fox News.
We're talking upwards of half a trillion dollars in fraud, upwards of a half a trillion. What do you think the connection is, Jim, quickly, and how intertwined are the issues of this fraud with illegal immigration?
Well, the fact is that there is, you know, substantial fraud here in Minnesota from the Somali American immigrant community here. That's the vast majority of where the fraud is located, and that's absolutely unacceptable. And the fact is, we need to have show the world that if you commit fraud in the state of Minnesota or anywhere else, that you're gonna see serious prison time, that you won't get away with it. And unfortunately, for a very long time now, people have felt as though they can get away with it.
Can you imagine if they get amnesty, if they get the upper hand, how they'll rob us blind and won't be able to do a dang thing about it? It's all in line right now. This is a civil war. It's the beginning of one. Starts with an insurrection. Here's John Solomon on one final thought to answer Ilhan Omar's question. Well, why are they here? There's no criminals in in Minnesota.
Just last night, we heard the Homeland Security Secretary say there's 640 people in Governor Waltz's possession for which there are lawful warrants to be arrested, and he won't turn them over because of his sanctuary city policies. Should we prosecute a governor for obstruction of justice because he won't turn over people who lawfully should be arrested? He's harboring them.
I'm not a lawyer, not a prosecutor, so don't understand the laws as it relates to, you know, what you can do. It'd be nice to be able to do.
Yeah. All he's got to do is hand these criminals to ICE. That's all he's got to do. But he refuses and releases them anyway. What criminals again? Department of Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem.
Since we have been here in recent weeks, we have arrested over 1,500 criminals off of the streets. Our law enforcement has arrested murderers, known and suspected terrorists, child pedophiles, and other brutal criminals that were protected here in this city. We should all work together to protect our citizens.
So in other words, Democrat future voters. This is translate for my liberal trolls, what we're talking about. Use your language.